I'm Jessie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hello. I said that part. My sobriety date is August 2nd, 2010. My home group is the Tuesday night, 7 p.m. literature meeting at 33. We meet Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. at Club 33, and we read literature. And I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. I'm in my pajamas. I feel very uncomfortable being at a podium in my pajamas. Because, you know, normally, like, the first speaker is, like, some rando new person or somebody that the main speaker brought with them. And when Lloyd asked me, I was like, man, I love this new format, but I was totally unprepared because I'm in my pajamas. But I wear things that, like, I can go out into the real world in also, and nobody knows that they're my pajamas. But I just felt obligated to tell you because, you know, I try to be honest now that I'm sober and stuff. But also, when I was asked to do this, I, like, almost peed a little because it was so funny. If you know my story, there it's ironic that I was asked to speak on sobriety date and the importance of it. You know, and, like, we say those things when anybody, like, starts their story or they're talking AA, and... like, the significance of it all for me keeps me grounded in AA, and, like, there's a lot of stuff I feel that's very, like, you know, like, the first 164 pages, that's how we do recovery, but there's a lot of stuff that's, like, very choose-your-own-adventure, I think, and, you know, like, for some people, their sobriety date is, like, the day they found AA, or, you know, it's that really important date to remember how they felt and what brought them to AA, or it's when they picked up their white chip, or whatever. My particular sobriety date is not the day that I picked up a white chip. I had been, like, fucking off in AA for about 9 months at that point. And it's funny because, like, there's nothing different about that day. I had to, like, go back and figure it out later because I lied about my sobriety for, like, 3 years. I had a fake sobriety date for a real long time, and I don't recommend that to anybody. Because what I learned throughout that experience and the point that it really drove home for me is that I am not a nice girl who drank too much. So I can be in AA, stone cold sober for several years, doing the things and just a banshee. You know, I was an asshole to a lot of people. At like 2.5 years fake sober, I was standing outside of the old church that we used to meet at, like, for real, trying to fight this girl for somebody else just to prove I don't have spiritual consequences. And, like, going to meetings, doing the things. I think I was sponsoring a lot of crazy people at that point because, like, you know, nobody wanted what I had because I didn't have anything to offer. You know, but, like, I came into AA originally November 29th, 2009, and I went to my very first meeting ever. I picked up a white chip. I drank the Kool-Aid. I heard some people talk about the things that I was thinking and feeling and doing, and I felt like I was home. Like, I was an alcoholic through and through, but I had a lot of weed left, and I really liked reefer. So I was like, well, I'm just going to smoke this weed. And I remember I told the woman who 12-stepped me, I was like, yeah, no, for sure, I'm an alcoholic, 100%. I relate. I get it. Like, sign me up, coach. But I think I'm going to keep smoking weed. And she was like, cool, just keep coming back, you know? And so I did. And I remember at one point I heard some kid talk about, oh, man, if I smoke so much as a joint, like, this is what happened, and this and this and this. And I was like, that's not my experience. I'm not going to tell nobody what's happening. And then I would hear speakers talk about, like, marijuana maintenance and all these things. And I was like, I am not feeling any of that, like, disconnection, weird stuff. So I started to practice this, like, a la carte sobriety where I was just, like, I was lying about a lot of things because, like, this idea of rigorous honesty or, you know, am I constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself? Yes, I am constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself. That's why I need you guys. That's why I have to talk about this stuff. Because on my own, I'll be like, I don't need to tell anybody I'm smoking weed every night. It's not a big deal. I'm paying my bills. I'm cleaning my house. Everything's fine. I'm, like, going and chairing meetings. I'm doing committee things. It's great. But I felt very disconnected. I would see my now husband with, like, his relationship with his sponsor, and I felt like I didn't have that. So I, like, got, I think, like, 5 sponsors in my first year and a half of sober because I was just like, I don't understand why I'm missing the mark. And then that little voice would creep up, and it's like, it's because you're smoking weed. And at, like, 9 months, I stopped, right? I was like, no more. It's disrespectful. And I swear to God, this is a conversation I had with myself. It says disrespectful to my friends in AA because they're all being honest. so I'm going to stop smoking weed. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. I'm just going to stop doing it. And so that little voice would be like, you're a liar. I'd be like, shut up, voice, you know? And like, and I had this sponsor that was like, your secrets keep you sick. And I'd be like, other people, yes, I'm fine. But like, I tried to fight somebody. I was like doing a ton of inappropriate stuff. I was disrespectful across the board. Like, I really wanted to get into a fist fight sober just to prove I didn't get spiritual consequences. Like, that is some fucked up stuff. Thank you. You know, and then through like a weird set of circumstances, I was in a fight with my now husband at like 5 a.m. talking about stuff, and I just like blurted it out. I was like, I need to change my sobriety date. And at that point I had picked up 3 years, you know, at this meeting at the old church. And, you know, and I called my sponsor the next day and I told her about it. And she said, what we all hate to hear, like, you're going to be able to help so many people with this. And I was like, you're going to go fuck yourself. Thank you. You know, because like, that's such a fucked up thing to hear. But the reality is in AA, like the things that we go through before we get sober and in sobriety make us uniquely qualified to help other alcoholics in ways that nobody else can. And it's not like all of a sudden God was like, here are some drunks who have this experience. I was just now more aware. So I went to a meeting, I shared about it. And the whole time I'm like, I'm gonna get kicked out of AA, I'm gonna get da-da-da. Like, these are all the conversations I was having with myself while I was, like, killing it at 3 years fake sober. And, you know, and, like, what happened is, like, that was the turning point of my recovery, right? That was when, like, I had a relationship with God, but it went to the next level. I had sponsored women, but now I actually had a message of depth and weight to transmit. I had, and at that point, that was the scariest thing I had ever walked through in my recovery. And like everything that's come from that, it's been able to like build this relationship and this reliance upon God, because like that was the start of like, okay, I can walk through this. Like, yeah, I thought I was gonna catch on fire. I thought I was gonna get kicked out of AA. You know, like this is the only place that we like try to out badass or bottom each other. And I just thought like I wasn't gonna cut it anymore. And like, that's all ego, right? Like my brain tells me that I matter and I'm important and all this stuff. But really like I have one job. It's to just try to be of maximum service to God and his kids. And if I'm telling myself all kinds of stories about like, well, you know, I would have had 13 years at one, like, who am I helping? Who, what am I doing? What is that doing to bring me closer to God? And nothing is the answer, and no one. You know, so like for me, this idea of sobriety date has always been really important, because it's the day that I decided like, okay, I'm going to try to really do this thing for real and like be honest, because I had no idea what that meant. And that was the first time like I got honest about something, you know, and it took me a while to get there, because I also did not believe that I had relapsed ever. It was like, yeah, I have one white chip. It's great. Because I kept going to AA, you know, like I never left. So it was really hard for me to wrap my head around that. But the more I stay here and the more I seek help and guidance and listen to anybody other than me, the more I realize, like, none of that shit matters, you know? Like, and so when I had all these people come into my life with this same experience or a similar one, I was able to help them. And the byproduct of that is I got a little bit better and a little bit deeper faith in God. And then I didn't get drunk for a while. You know, it's been several years. And if I keep doing that, I probably won't get drunk tomorrow. The end.